You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight or we could be strong. You could be right and I could be wrong. We could just fight or we could be strong.
This is Bridge the Gap with Mark and Dave, the program that seeks for the truth no matter where it is found. I'm Mark.
And I'm David.
For he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding. And that's found in 2 Nephi chapter 31. I find it interesting that the Lord does want to speak to us, and he wants to speak to us in our language according to our understanding. Do you think that when he says your language, that he means English, or do you think he means more than just that?
Yeah, more than just that.
Because we all do tend to understand things differently, don't we? Somebody who might be have a very scientific mind might learn through scientific methodologies.
Totally.
But somebody who's very artistic might learn through some melodic poetry.
Totally.
Those are different languages.
Big time.
He's willing to talk to you in whatever language you understand. Mm-hmm. That's highly personalized. Don't you think?
And it's a good teacher, right? It just makes sense.
Yeah. Some people learn by patterns. Mm-hmm. Some people learn by hearing things. Other people learn by seeing it. Whatever you learn by, he'll teach you.
I like that.
People like to get caught up in the semantics of words. Mm-hmm. No means empirical evidence to some people. No means a spiritual, what I call knowing.
And it's in your own language, mm-hmm. like we were saying.
Exactly.
So knowing is whatever it is for you. Gotcha.
Right. So let's not get caught up in the semantics. Let's just try and understand each other when we're trying to bridge the gap. We should just seek to understand each other's languages.
And that's why truth, seeking truth is so difficult in a way. Because yes, truth is truth. But at the same time, truth can be in your language or truth can be in my language. Mm-hmm. But it can be the truth.
And I think really that the Holy Ghost, because it can speak to us in our language. You can be saying something in your language, and I can be interpreting it completely differently than what you meant me to understand. But if it's true, the Holy Ghost, ding, 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 you're right. What Mark is interpreting about what you're saying is either true or untrue based on what the Holy Ghost makes me feel. And then I can reiterate that back to you and say, this is what I just heard you say. That is so true. And you go, that's not what I said. And maybe it wasn't what you said. But what I interpreted, if it was true, the Holy Ghost confirmed that to me. You could say something I could interpret incorrectly and it could be true. And then the Holy Ghost says that's true. Or vice versa. You could say something that is true and I'll interpret it incorrectly. The Holy Ghost won't confirm the truth of it to me and I will feel nothing. Not because it's not true, but because my interpretation of what you said is not true.
There's something to be said about this is how you struggle with the scriptures, right? This is how you study. This is how you feast upon. Mark and I in the past have had conversations about how Christ himself is the one who baptizes us by fire. You know, we're baptized by water by someone who holds the priesthood. Christ himself is the one who baptized us with fire. And I believe, pretty sure, he shared a scripture with me before that talks about, or that is Christ speaking, and Christ says something along the lines of, and I will baptize you by fire, something like that. And so we're trying to kind of figure out where that scripture is. Here we go.
Did you find it?
Dude. So literally www.churchofjesuschrist.org. Click on the scriptures and then just write in anything that you're trying to kind of remember, whatever. So I just typed in, I will baptize you by fire. And it came up with 3 Nephi 9:20. And ye shall offer a sacrifice unto me. So this is Christ speaking. For a sacrifice unto me, a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not.
Thanks for bringing that in.
Well, because that's what you shared with me. And that was the first time that I saw very clearly, will I baptize with fire?
So in summary, I'm going to say that mortals take us to the first gate, baptism by water. Then the Holy Ghost takes us to the second gate, baptism by fire. And then Christ takes us through the veil, and permits us to gain entry into our Heavenly Father's light-based kingdom. So now if we move on to the next chapter in 2 Nephi 32:1, he continues to get into this a little bit deeper. And he says, "And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts?" So you see, I think he's speaking to those who believe that if the Lord would just come in and tell me what I should do, I would do it. But they don't really know what they should do. He will explain that the Lord will not reveal the fullness of one's earthly mission until that person has matured sufficiently to receive their baptism by fire and the Holy Ghost.
Yet those people receive the baptism by fire, and they knew it not.
Yeah, so how do you reconcile the two?
Is it possible baptism by fire doesn't mean calling an election made sure, doesn't mean knowing your mission? Doesn't necessarily mean speaking with the tongue of angels. They're not necessarily connected. Typically, you receive the baptism by fire, and then most likely you can speak with the tongue of angels, but not necessarily. Meaning like Christ was with those people and baptized with fire, but they didn't.
Is that what Nephi is saying here?
I don't know.
Nephi seems to be saying the opposite. That if you truly have been baptized by fire, you will be speaking with the tongue of angels. And he's saying to
the people. But what about those people that were baptized by fire and knew it not?
That, I don't understand how it correlates to this.
Yeah. Read it again.
It's in the first verse of the 32nd chapter. He's talking to people who are confused like we are. It says, "And now behold, my brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye enter in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your hearts?" So these are the people who have entered in by the way, the water of baptism. And they're wondering, well, now what do I do next? And he said, why don't you know that? If you truly have been baptized.
Wait, hold on. No, read it. Keep reading it.
Okay. So behold, why do ye ponder these things in your hearts? Then he says in verse 2, "Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels?" And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore, I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do.
Yeah, so to me, he's saying, read the scriptures. Or receive the words of Christ through the Holy Ghost, one or the other, and that will tell you, like, don't ask what you should do, because all you have to do is look to the words of Christ and they'll tell you. That's what I'm getting from that.
Well, and see, this is what he says in verse 4 now. He says, "Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words," he just did, "if ye cannot understand them," we're still confused, we're pondering a little bit, you know, you're making a case, and I'm withholding any conclusion at this point, right? "If ye cannot understand them, it will be because," here's the answer, "ye ask not, neither do you knock, wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but you must perish in the dark." So you're not asking, you're not knocking. What do you do when you ask, and what does it mean when you knock? Do you know? What does that mean? Where do you knock?
Prayer.
You knock at the veil. You're seeking a veil-penetrating experience.
Yeah, but you knock before that too.
You could knock on doors. You could knock on lots of things. But what do you think he means when you seek, ask, and knock?
I believe fully that he's not just talking about at the veil.
Okay, so what does it mean to you?
I think it means that at the veil, ultimately, and the fully part of that. But I think also it's like seeking. Praying, asking.
Well, he says three things, seek, ask, and knock. So what is the seeking, what is the asking, and what is the knocking? I guess you could seek lots of things. You could ask for many things, and you could knock on a lot of things. Is that your truth?
Do you think that's what I'm saying?
No, I'm just asking. I don't know. Or do you think that they, because he says that a lot. If ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do you knock.
Yeah, so I think it's because you're not trying to find out from me. And I think seek, ask, and knock, I think that's a process. I think that's a way of finding out things of God. Mm-hmm. And I think he uses it many times at many different levels for many different things. I think you can ask, seek, and knock for the knowledge of what church you should join, for instance, like Joseph Smith did. And I think it worked. And I think you can ask, seek, and knock about the veil or past the veil. Yeah, I think that too.
So when we're in between the first gate, baptism by water, and second gate, baptism by fire, the Holy Ghost is our companion and guides us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Nephi's established that. So if we're struggling and we're confused, the answer, I think, culminates in verse 5. It says, "And behold, again, I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way, first gate, and receive the Holy Ghost," that's the guide between the first and second gate, "it will show unto you all things what you should do." So if you're still confused, you're not getting the Holy Ghost to show you all things what you should do.
No, not yet. I think it's you're not reading the words of Christ. Like, because what he says next is, what he is coming to say is,
"It will show unto you all things what you should do."
And then keep reading. And then it says about, "What really I'm saying about all things that tells you all things that you should do are the words of Christ."
So in verse 6, it says, "Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh."
Wait, so did you just jump ahead?
I went to verse 6.
Okay. That's.
I don't actually...
The part that you just read before.
Verse 5, "Behold, again, I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what ye should do." Isn't that the end of verse 5?
Oh, I'm not following it. But what did you read before then? The one that said tongue of angels and like being able to understand it or not being able to understand it. Oh, okay.
Do you want me to just read it all?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start with verse 2. "Do ye not remember that I said unto you that after ye have received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do."
So to me, and this is speaking to me, if I want to know what I should do, I need to feast on the words of Christ. I shouldn't wonder what I should do. Nephi is telling me right there, for sure, for me at least, Dave, don't wonder what you should do. Find out. Feast on the words of Christ and you'll find out. Done. Don't sit there and wonder. Find out for yourself, because all you have to do is feast on the words. And I think
that's... Where do you find the words?
Scripture. But then also, I think you can also practice the tongue of angels without fully having it in a way, meaning... the pondering, the asking, praying, waiting for an answer. But, you know, like, I think that's all part of it. To me, that's what he's saying there. It isn't saying if you haven't received your full, like, mission revealed to you.
Well, you don't get that yet. See, right. This is not about that at this point.
Right.
This is about feasting upon the words of Christ, following the Holy Ghost to get to the second gate, which is baptism by fire.
Which you can know what you should do before you get to the second gate.
The Holy Ghost teaches you, the words of Christ teach you, but you're not getting any physical, personal manifestation of Christ at this point. And he even makes it very clear that you're not going to get that until you pass the baptism by fire.
Right. So we're talking about multiple things here.
Yes.
At first, we're talking about wondering what you should do.
Yeah. So we're at that physical phase of ascension and progression between baptism by water and baptism by fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Ghost is our companion during that phase of this,
mm-hmm,
to get to the baptism by fire. I'm proposing that that can happen immediately, like it did with Jesus Christ, or it can happen over a period of time, like it does with others when they're baptized by water and they're given a commission to receive the Holy Ghost. But that's something that they have to practice on working at, to have that as a constant companion, continue practicing feasting upon the words of Christ for a period of time, until they're ready. And when they're fully prepared, then we go to verse 5, which is what I'm about to read now. For behold, again, I say unto you that if you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, that's between the two gates, it will show unto you all things what you should do. You just get to know all things that you should do until you get the baptism by fire. Then verse 6, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. So that's it. That's all you get. You don't get the fullness of your mission. You don't get to know all things. You just get to know all things that you should do until you get the baptism by fire. And then you're going to get something else. And I can't talk about it because it's not allowed to be written in this record.
Wait, I thought it just says it. I thought it says that you'll see Christ.
But what happens after that is not written. It says, behold.
So you're saying that is your baptism by fire.
I'm going to read verse 6 again. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. In other words,
he will manifest himself unto you in the flesh.
And then you'll get more doctrine.
After that.
But so not after until you, after that.
Right. So after you receive the baptism by fire, then you'll receive your personal mission and stuff.
Exactly. That's when you get a fullness of your mission.
Right.
That's what, because Jesus Christ, he at some point received a confirmation of the fullness of his mission. Nothing was hidden from him. He knew everything, every detail. He knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. He knew all the things that he should do, and he submitted because he understood that his mission was to be crucified on the cross and atone for the sins of mankind. And he knew every detail of that by the time he fulfilled that mission. And that happened after he received the baptism by fire, because he had to learn grace upon grace, just like the rest of us. And at that point, he had a fullness of his mission. That's where I think that Moses, for example, having reached the level of seraph in the 7 levels of human ascension, having power over the elements, didn't not know that he was going to part the Red Sea when he got to it. He already knew that, just like Jesus Christ knew they would crucify him.
Like Joseph Smith knew he was going to die.
Nephi, as we're speaking right here, if we continue to read this, Nephi knew of a fullness of his mission, I believe, because he talks about how part of his mission was to write these words to us. And he had such a sure knowledge of that being his mission that he felt compelled to obey. That's a bad word to use. He was never compelled to obey, but he understood because of his light and knowledge and his personal ascension that if he did not obey, he would be in danger of becoming a son of perdition, because he had had a witness of the Holy Ghost, had received that face-to-face witness of Jesus Christ. And at that point, if he didn't fulfill his mission, then he was at risk of becoming a son of perdition, which he did not want to do. And so he was fully committed to doing everything that the Lord told him to do, including writing the record that we're reading right now. He fulfilled that because it was part of his foreordained mission, and he knew it. How do I know that he knew it? Because at the very end, he all but says it. So here we go. This is Nephi explaining. And now, my beloved brethren, all those who are of the house of Israel and all the ends of the earth, I speak unto you, speaking to us, as the voice of one crying from the dust, farewell until that great day shall come. And you that will not partake of the goodness of God, and respect the words of the Jews, and also my words, and the words which shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, behold, I bid you an everlasting farewell. For these words shall condemn you at the last day. For what I seal on earth shall be brought against you at the judgment bar. For thus hath the Lord commanded me, and I must obey. Amen. He's pretty serious. He knew that. He had actually seen a vision. He saw our day. He saw how the record he was writing was going to fit into the big picture. And he was determined to fulfill his part in redeeming the house of Israel. What is your part? What is your mission?
Podcast, baby. Bridge the gap. I'm in the process of figuring that out.
And Nephi, having figured that out, is showing you the key to unlocking that secret.
That's it for this episode of Bridge the Gap.
Truth seekers,